gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 15-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World
order. A new world order. Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Wow. Hello. Crank that up a little bit. Make sure we're not booming you out. You may notice a difference in the sound. That's because we are back in the cave. Way back in the farthest, deepest reaches of our Kauia Research Library again, and we are using you broadcast. I don't know, it was probably on the bed. I'm on the air. Okay, I'll look for it during the break. We're coming to you live from the church at Kauia in Kauia, California. Yeah, it is Kauia, California. I got thrown off. I always start to do the show, and then everybody always jumps in the room and says, where'd you put the pepper? Where'd you put this? It's like they have no concept that I'm doing a radio show here. It gets tough. Yes, I'm a little cranky today. I'm still cranky after being pushed off the air yesterday. Every time we tried to come back up, we got shut down, and we've never had that problem when we're using DSL. I don't know what the cause is. We tried using Ustream about an hour ago, and it kept failing. I tried to get into UBroadcast so I could be in the chat room, and it kept knocking me off. We checked our bandwidth. We've come down enough that we can do a show. So it's weird, and it's unusual. I think it was because of the content of the show yesterday. Sometimes I think I'm too little of an Indian to matter, but sometimes maybe I pop up on their radar and they try and squish us. But it is, well, let me see, what is today's date? The 22nd already? Is it 22nd? June 23rd.
Yes.
June 23rd, 2010. June is gone. So July 9th is coming up right around the corner. And you may say, well, what was July 9th? Well, then you weren't listening yesterday. Arizona, they're trying to put together a nationwide rally call for militias to patrol the Buenos Aires Wilderness Preserve so that they can take it back. The federal government gave it away to Mexico, and the citizens want it back. The information's pretty simple. I'm going to give you a phone number here, so while you're scrambling for your crayons, strawberries and crayons to write it. I don't think they get the strawberry joke. Just because you write phone numbers on the wall with a strawberry, Lou, I don't think anybody else does that. So I don't think they get that joke. Yeah, blue collar comedy cavalcade. But let me get back to this number here. And I've also got an email address for you. I don't think Lou has it over there. Let me go down through here. Okay. And what they want to do is for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Boy, it's right around the corner. I don't even know. I want to go, but I don't even think we have enough money. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's going to cost us in gas. But if you have the means, if some guys go here, we'll carpool, or I'll carpool, or something. I'll send Lou. Lou will be our little warrior for rent now. He's had the training. We'll dress him up like a bush and send him out to Arizona so he can scream at illegal aliens. But what they're trying to do is get at least 75 people. They want to go Utah. They want to be able to cover this area. So far, the states reporting in are Utah, Nevada, Arizona, and California. So they're getting some people, but they don't have enough yet. And the information is going to be given out. If you contact them with the information I'm going to give you here in a minute, they'll contact you back and give you some ideas. Plus, a lot of it is operational security sensitive, so you'll get it when you're on the ground there. But I was talking today to some people over there in Arizona, and what they're going to do is the locals are going to be guides and scouts. They've already been doing recon of the area and trying to figure out what's going on, what would be some of the better observation points, some of the where the trails are, the highly used trails in this area. They've pretty much ignored Oh, I don't have Lou's mic up. I'll bring that up a little bit. They're ignoring... well, actually, they're not ignoring it because it's not there. There's no law enforcement in their federal, state, or county to stop them. So they're out operating freely in the area right now. And let me give you the information. You want to call Pete, P-E-T-E, like Pete the Magic Dragon, area code 619-300-6883. And I'm going to be talking more about that in the second hour when we get on to Liberty Tree Radio to let it get out. And then the email, this is a email. I hate it when people use underscores because they want to separate them. But it's coalition, C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N, underscore, of, O-F, underscore, Patriots, which is P-A-T-R-I-O-T-S, Pat Riots, 1776 at hotmail.com. Hotmail.com. So if you can get that information that way, just tell them you heard it from Dutch Jones. We want to let them know what kind of an impact we have. If you're listening to this, are you recording? If you're listening to this any other time, give me a call at 559-561-8225, and what we'll do is I can get you that information if you missed it, you know, if this is a rebroadcast over FM or CB or something and you didn't have a chance to write it down. You can also contact me at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com, and we'll do it. The phone lines are up. We do have phone lines up here now, so if you want to call in and talk about this, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you guys what you need. This is different than a training exercise. It's completely different than a training exercise. One, you have to have the right kind of attitude to be willing to work with other groups from other states. As you heard, several different states are showing up. Stacy's all modeling her new pistol. Yay. you've got to go down there thinking humbly. Don't go down there thinking that your group or yourself is Ricky Ranger and nobody touches you, that you guys are the best and you're going to go down there and show off. If you go down there with that attitude, nothing good's going to happen. I've been with several different border groups, several, since 1992, and one of the things that kills it when they do these multiple collective functions is that there's always idiots with an attitude. Well, if I were in charge, this is how I would have done it. This is a major thing to pull off. It's not easy. I don't care who you are, you're not going to do it perfect. So be humble. Be willing to accept some downtime where you just sit down and wait for them. I remember one time for a Minuteman project thing we did, we had to sit around in this VFW for hours waiting for them to print up name tags and, you know, little things like that. Of course, we had a couple thousand people show up for that one. But have an open heart, open mind, keep your mouth shut and your ears and eyes open. Go down there with the attitude of, like, let's see how they're doing. If you've never done this before, just watch and see how things are done. And if they give you some SOPs that you don't agree with, some rules of engagement, well, you can always leave. But I would say operate within their rules of engagement and their SOPs as long as it doesn't endanger you or yours. And just see what it's like. If you've never had your feet wet on a border operation, well, this is not a border operation, but it technically is in the United States, but it's been a moved border. Go, bring a video camera. Bring a cell phone. Bring weapons that are legal to the state of Arizona, which is pretty much anything. Pretty much anything. Binoculars. The best binoculars you can bring, bring them. If you have night vision, bring them. If you've got ghillie suits, bring them and be ready to adjust them for the desert in the middle of July. You are going to be toasted down there in July. Temperatures can be as high as 110, if not more. So bring a lot of hydration mechanisms. Canteens, aquabacks, what do they call them, camelbacks, cases of Gatorade and water. Do whatever you can. If you think you have enough water, double whatever it is you're bringing. Bring items to create shade. If you've got camouflage tarps, desert camouflage or tan-colored tarps, canvases, whatever, bring those and some poles. Depending on the way the mission's going to run, if it's going to be high profile or covert or a mixture of two, they're going to come in handy. They're definitely going to come in very handy. Make sure you bring snake bite kits, too. Now, I've never been on an operation where anybody's been bit, but I've been on operations where people have stepped on rattlesnakes and, by the grace of God, not been bit. So be self-contained. Don't be a burden to the others in your area. Also, you know, if your militia doesn't cut it, that's kind of sad. But if you're inexperienced, let them know. Say, hey, I'm coming from, you know, on the Canadian border. I've never been in a desert. What do we need to look out for? The way they're running this so far, I'm impressed, and I really believe that it's going to be well done. I'm going to try to get down there, but realizing doing the math that it's just today's the 23rd, that's 7 plus 9, that's 16 days. I just don't know. We don't even have a vehicle that runs well enough, but we'll see if people from the church are going to go down there. It's going to be interesting. It's really going to be interesting. So I highly encourage you to check those out, and I went on for about 45 minutes yesterday. I'm excited about this coalition of patriots, because that's what we need to do. Every once in a while, we have to get up off our butts and travel a couple hundred miles to go where the problem is. And I think this could be a Lexington Concord type issue. Hopefully, nobody will get shot, but at least it might be a thorn in the side to the United States government. And it'll embarrass them, because you know media is going to latch onto this. Media is going to jump all over this. But with that, we're going to move on. I'll talk a little bit more about it next hour to make sure that people on Liberty Tree Radio hear about it. Let's see. Let me click on this. I don't talk much about the different wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever else, you know, where wielding the sword of tyranny. But Afghanistan got shook up. I have to say something about that. McChrystal spoke openly in a press conference and said what he thought of Obongo and a bunch of his people and all that, and he got stepped down. He probably didn't want to do the job anymore. Thankless job. I mean, going over into Afghanistan where no foreign army's ever been able to be productive or win, and it's just a death toll that keeps rising. This last month has been the highest for casualties. In there, U.S. casualties and NATO casualties. And so they yanked him, and they're putting in Petraeus, you know, again, who was the uber lord of the Iraqi conflict. So just look for more spin doctoring on why, you know, we're not getting anywhere in these wars, why the civilian casualties are going up, why we're using more and more contractors to do things. Again, this is just, you know, they don't want you to actually focus on the war over there. That's why they keep allowing the Gulf to be basically polluted to the point where it's not going to be functional anymore. And so you just keep an eye on this thing. Watch the transition here between McChrystal to Petraeus. And I think McChrystal just wised up and said, you know, this is gonna destroy me, and I want to get out of here. And I want to make sure that this doesn't land on in my lap when we're doing something. In fact, they've even uncapped the oil well to make the distraction bigger. Have you guys seen that? They've taken the cap off the oil well to allow like 100,000 barrels a day. They keep lying and changing the amount. But that's where they're going with that. And I know you don't think that the oil well and the war in Iraq and Afghanistan are connected, but they are. What did I do? I dropped the 22 shell somewhere. I don't know where it went. They are extremely connected. Extremely connected. I don't usually get into the cosmic stuff, but the sun's doing some weird things, and it affects communications, and it makes for the possibility of a natural sun-made, God-made, whatever you want to call it, EMP, electromagnetic pulse. And I can't bring up the article because it's taken forever from the Washington Post today. But it's something you should be paying attention to. A burp from the sun could cause a lot of problems. And with the storms on the sun, the sunspots, if you put on a welding goggle and you look up at the sun, you can see them. But there's been a complete absence of sunspots. And I've been hearing, you know, them going nuts on coast to coast. But they come and go, but recently they have mostly gone. For centuries, astronomers have recorded when these dark blemishes on the solar surface emerge, only to fade away just after a few days, weeks, or months. Thanks to their efforts, we know that sunspot numbers ebb and flow in about 11-year cycles. Those of you that talk skip with like CB or AM stuff know that that cycle affects communications. That's why I'm sharing it with you. But for the past 2 years, the sunspots have been mostly missing. their absences, most prolonged in nearly 100 years, has taken even seasoned sun watchers by surprise. This is solar behavior we haven't seen in living memory, says David Hathaway, a physicist at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. The sun is under scrutiny as never before thanks to an armada of space telescopes. The results they beam back are portraying our nearest star and its influence on the Earth in a new light. Sunspots on other and other clues indicate that the sun's magnetic activity is diminishing and that the sun may even be shrinking. Together, the results hint that something profound is happening inside the sun. The big question is what? Now, this could be one of those Armageddon doomsday scenarios. I don't really care because if the sun goes up, I won't even notice it. Groups of sunspots forewarn of gigantic solar storms that can unleash a billion times more energy than an atomic bomb. Fears that these giant eruptions could create havoc on Earth and disrupt disputes over the sun and its role in climate change are adding urgency to these studies. See, a lot of, you know, they're blaming humans for global warming. It could be the sun, but they don't want to talk about it. I'm surprised this article's even out. When NASA and the European Space Agency launched the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory almost 15 years ago, understanding the solar cycle was not one of its specific scientific objectives, says Bernard Fleck, the mission's project scientist. Now it is one of the key questions. There's all kinds of cool photos on this article. You should Google sunspot activity. Sunspots are windows into the sun's magnetic soul. They form where giant loops of magnetism is generated deep inside the sun, well up and burst through the surface, leading to a localized drop in temperature that we can see as dark patches. Any change in sunspot number reflect changes on the inside of the sun. During this transition, the sun is giving us a real glimpse into its interior, says Hathaway. When sunspots numbers drop at the end of each 11-year cycle, solar storms die down and become much calmer. The solar minimum doesn't last long. Within a year, the spots and storms begin to build toward a new crescendo, the next solar maximum. Now, I'm telling you all this because it does affect communications. Now, what's special about the latest dip is that the sun is having trouble starting the new solar cycle. The sun begins to calm down in late 2007, so no one expected many sunspots in 2008, but computer models predicted that the spots did return. They would do so in force. Hathaway has reported as thinking the next solar cycle would be a doozy. More sunspots, more solar storms, and more energy blasted into space. Others predicted that it would be the most active solar cycle on record. So we don't know what it did before we got here when we were capable of looking into space. The trouble was that no one told the sun. The first sign that the prediction was wrong came in 2008. Turned out to be even calmer than expected. That year, the sun was spot-free 73% of the time, an extreme dip for even a solar minimum. Only the minimum of 1913 was more pronounced with 85%. So the opportunity is we're going around our little loop, actually elliptical orbit, that the sun could burp and take out our communications. I kind of like that idea. That might be the time to attack the New World Order. They are so technologically dependent. All of their observation equipment, all of their surveillance equipment, all of their weapons of destruction rely heavily on electronics and communications. Now, if something burps on the sun and takes those out, that kind of evens the playing field. I mean, the numbers will be different, us and them at first, but we won't have to worry about Predator drones or Abrams tanks or anything like that, huh? Now, you militias that have built your weaponry up around ray guns are going to be in trouble. But those of us that are still using cased bullets, then we'll be okay. It's an interesting article. I won't go too much more into it. But everybody's starting to get wiggy about this. Could this be the new 2012 catastrophe that everybody's waiting for?
Probably.
Because the last time things like this happened, they think it may have been what triggered severe winters in Europe, like in 1650. For those of you that don't know, those were great periods of famine when all kinds of weirdness broke out in Europe.
It's a government.
Yeah, and then from 1645 to 1715, sunspots virtually disappeared and solar activity plummeted, and a similar spell of solar activity were to begin now and continue until the year 2100. Think about that. They're already talking about 2100. It would mitigate any temperature rise caused by global warming, and no more than 0.3 degrees Celsius. So if the sun starts to go dormant, even if it was man causing global warming, it would be offset that the sun's just going to be cooler. Now, I know you guys think I'm nuts talking about this stuff. I know some people are like, what does that do with militia? But I remember when I was a kid, the sun used to be like this orangey color. Now when you look at it, it's like bright white. So there was a difference in temperature just from when I was a kid. It could just be my eyes from staring at the sun, Lisa.
I always thought it was like yellow.
Yeah. The sun, I always thought it was kind of a yellowy orange, but now it's like bright white.
Really?
Let me stare at it.
I want you two to go out and stare at the sun and tell me what you think. I want everybody listening to this show to go out and stare at the sun. There you go. But that's an interesting little tidbit there that caught my eye today in the news. And you can't blame man for what the sun's doing. You know, the hippies are going to come out and say, look, man has messed up the sun. It's because we got too many solar panels sucking free energy off the sun, stealing it from the sun. The sun got mad. Huh? We've been mooching off the sun with all this solar energy.
And my son, one of the farmers, wants to convert his land into, what was it, a solar panel?
Solar farm, yeah.
Yeah. See? It looks hideous.
Well, I think the whole flatland out there looks hideous. Well, I mean, I wish it was still a lake, but that's just me.
I like trees better than some big panels of hideously ugly solar
panels. Taking care of the solar panels is a nightmare, too, because especially without out here in the valley, those of you who have never been here, we've got pollution, and it's cow dust. It's all the cow crap and farmers kicking up dust and everything, and anybody that has a solar panel, it just gets covered up right away. Yeah, we just saw the farmers out dry land farming. Huh?
Farming dirt.
Yeah, they're dirt farmers, literally. Okay, how do I get to more news on here? Great. Bum, 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 bum. Now let me go to world. So, there are factors that we don't even think about that may affect our battle plans. Personally, I think it would be great if God just let the sun burp and took out all their technology. I think there's not much we could do one way or the other, but let's just pray that the Lord does something like that. I think it would be a good idea for us to do. Israel's still saying that the flotillas are bringing weapons. They've kind of quieted down a little bit after the world slapped them for it, for killing those 9 people. What they keep neglecting to tell you is none of those ships in the flotilla were found to have weapons. They had no weapons on them. They were beating these Israelis with coat racks and table legs. There were no AR-15s. There were no M-16s. There were no SKSs. There were no AKs. There were no rockets. It was all beans and building materials. Well, I don't know if they eat beans. I don't think Palestinians eat beans. But food, medical supplies, that type of thing. And you can get all upset about, oh, they're fighting for their lives. That doesn't give them the right to hit targets that are civilians. In the Quran, it says if you kill one innocent person, it's as if you killed all of mankind. So these were unarmed, innocent people that had a right to defend their ship. And now Israel is trying to say, oh, look, the new ships are coming. I've got weapons so that they can open the door to kill more of these activists/terrorists, whatever you want to call them. And interestingly enough, last week, Supreme Court said that if you donate money to Hamas through like their orphans fund or any of those things, here, take that. Those types of things. Who is it? Okay, take it. Find out what we're gonna do. It's like everybody forgets I do a radio show every day from 5 to 7.
Hold on.
Yeah. Weird. I forgot what I was saying, but Israel will just kill whoever they want to get. I mean, they weren't even letting concrete in because concrete could be used to build bunkers. Even though they sit and bulldoze and blow up and destroy homes with children in them every day over there, they don't want them rebuilding those homes. They don't want them to have a foundation. What's up? Okay. Somebody we haven't heard from in a while, Hugo Chavez, the El Presidente for life, pretty much, of Venezuela, is messing with his cabinet again. Now, he does have elections, but he always wins like 104% of the vote. Caracas, Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez shuffled his cabinet on Wednesday as his government grapples with numerous domestic ills and his governing party prepares for crucial congressional elections. Now, what's funny about this is he's a full-on socialist. him and Obongo should be hand in hand, but he's, you know, you haven't heard anything from him. He isn't calling our president Satan or anything because they're both socialists. Now, 9 top-ranking officials were appointed. Most of the outgoing cabinet members have been selected as a ruling party candidates for September's vote and are some of the socialist leaders' closest collaborators, including, and it's got a bunch of names here, who cares who they are. There's a, you know, it's, you know, the peanut gallery of commies and socialists. Francisco Garces de Silva, formerly the director of Venezuela's seismological agency, will replace Cabello as the Minister of Transportation. It's going to go through all this stuff. But the reason I brought this up is that they are a huge thorn in our side. As Cuba was to Kennedy, Venezuela is now to whoever's ruling this ridiculous nation anymore. They are arming to the teeth. They are taking every bit of military armament, every dollar or yen or whatever they can get from China. They've got ships that were given to them by Russia. They've got long-range bombers. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. But we're going to take a break here. I got to find out what's going on with the phone call. And we will be back after a song and probably some other stuff.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's about...
It is time to organize, it is a time of war, and it's time to revolt, and it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle. Hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
You have to force that with all.
It's high time.
You're taking away from America. Too many whites came. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
We are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution?
We're going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
Get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great
to England, you fucking redneck. Go back to England.
A Christian nation, the Philippines stand as a mighty bulwark of Christianity in the Far East, and its capacity for high moral leadership in Asia is unlimited.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A bang, bang, a bang.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, Bats, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. We're just having some technical difficulties here with a 9-year-old. But we got it figured out, and we're back on. Parenting. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun? Trying to get something, that one went up too high. Try and get some things done and trying to serve the cause, and then people start, like I told you at the beginning of the hour, they keep coming in here and giving me their problems while I'm on the air. It's like they don't realize what I'm doing here. It's kind of weird. So please pray for me to have patience and to not blow my stack, and for those of us involved in this cause here to just get their act together. I guess that's all I need to say. I just threw a couple people out of my studio that I'm related to. So, and I told them not to come in until I'm done because they can't seem to handle them. Themselves with decorum. It's weird. Okay, let me see. Let me go back to this. We were talking about Venezuela. A lot of people don't want to talk about that. They just kind of want to forget about it. It's. I told you there's a military buildup there. And guess where he would love to dump all of those arms? Right in every one of the hands of the poor people in Mexico and the other nations down there that are looking to advance across the border. Yesterday, I kind of got into a little bit about Reconquista. You don't have to look very far. Look for Raza, La Raza, Mecha, Mapa, all these different groups that are looking to take back the American Southwest. And as I said, it's either by birth rate or crime rate. Birth rate and crime rate is what they're using. That's not my words. That was the words of a state assemblyman at UCR, University of California, Riverside, when I snuck in acting like a hippie. And they were talking to all these crunchy white guys and a bunch of Latinos. And they were saying that they want to drive the Europeans at least out of the American Southwest. And there's a fifth column that's already here. These are the advanced scouts, these 20 million illegal aliens. Let's say half of them. Okay, just for the sake of argument, I'm going to say 10 million of them are just looking for a better way of life. They broke the law. They came here, but they just wanted to feed little Pepe and I can't even think of any more Spanish little girl names.
Angelina,
Maria, and that's what they want to do. But that leaves 10 million that have nefarious intentions. And let's say of that 10 million, half of them are just engaged in narcotics and crime and, just street-level crime, even though that does play a part in it, what I call the broken window theory. They break some windows in a neighborhood. They do some graffiti here and there. Pretty soon it creates what? And I'm going to use the term white flight. They get out of there. Look at L.A. Go from 1945 when the war ended till now. And watch the huge, huge trends that are going on. So of just driving people out of what used to be either mixed race or predominantly white neighborhoods. And I'm not talking about, and it's not race. That happens to just be a coincidence. It is socioeconomic, philosophical, cultural, and nationalistic ideals. And they're breeding it in Mexico in their schools. They're breeding it on their television, their medias, their telemundos, and all that stuff. And they're beaming it right over here into America. right under our noses. Go out into your car if you live in California and count how many Spanish-speaking language radio stations there are now. They are buying up small mom-and-pop radio stations and hooking them up to their networks. And if you have anybody that speaks Spanish, listen to their morning shows. They are advocating Reconquista. That's what they're doing. And you don't know what Reconquista is? It's the reconquest of the American Southwest. They have this false belief that this once all belonged to Mexico, when the fact of it was, until the Spaniards came here and dragged them up here as slaves, this was occupied by Indians. Not the mestizos from Mexico or whatever, the Incas, the Mayans, the Oaxacans. They were Indian people down there, just like there were Indian tribes up here, and they traded together. The Spaniards came in and did the best thing that the Catholic Spaniards could ever do and just enforced brutality and used them as slaves and everything. I'm not going to excuse what happened there. The Russians came down from the north, but the Spaniards owned this. They were the first people to put up fences here. The land grants were from Spanish landowners and rulers. It wasn't some Mexican landowner in Southern California that said, oh, hey, I'll give you my land for so many pennies per acre. It was governments. European governments that did it. And they have this false attitude that and belief that this land belongs to them, and it does not. It does not belong to them. Never has. And my attitude is you either have to fight for it or buy it. Those are the two ways in our planet that we get land. Very seldom is it given away. So if they want to buy it, fine. If they want to fight for it, fine. But they've already conquered huge chunks, huge cities. And they are the fifth column. I have seen these young men and women at shooting ranges out there. They're not very good, but they are training. They're, what's the word, enticing and giving incentives to their gang members, because now we've lowered our standards in the military, to get into the Marine Corps and the Army, these fifth column people, these firstborn American citizen babies, their anchor babies, right? And they're getting the training. They're getting paramilitary and military training and coming back and training their essays. So that when that mass... Mexico City now is about 22 million. I think it's the second largest city in the world next to one city in India. They want to get rid of them. If you fly over Mexico City, which I've done a couple of times, you notice first the slums in the hills. It looks like a big dump. And you realize that those are shanty towns. And they need to get rid of those people. So they take those Chinese weapons that Hugo Chavez has, hands them all out, gives them 10 rounds each, and says, go north, and your payment will be whatever you can take. It's going to make us look like South Africa. It's going to make us look like the Balkans every time there was a crusade and they sacked the Balkans. It's not going to take much. The border's been erased. There is no border anymore. The agents are in place. The agents are doing everything they can do to soften the resistance here through psychological training, with calling everybody racist, with weakening our infrastructure by overburdening our welfare, social systems, medical systems. Do you realize that in Los Angeles County alone, in the last 12 years, they've lost 7 emergency rooms? They just go in there for sniffles, pregnancies, whatever, and it destroyed them because they don't pay for anything. And the cost of keeping them open was just too high, and they shut them down. So what does that do? That causes a man with a family to go, well, I don't want to live in a region that doesn't have an emergency room. That's one of the things he looks at.
They can't turn them away.
They can't turn away the illegal aliens, so it overburdens them. The school system, even though I don't know why you would have your kids in the public cesspool system. They go in and they overburden the school system, demand that they have all this money reallocated to them to speak Spanish only. This ESL class crap, English is a second language, they're all speaking Spanish. And more money goes to their needs. These Latino studies programs at the junior and high school levels. Do you realize that last year they gave something like $22 million in grants to La Raza here in California? La Raza has their own charter schools now that only Latinos can go to, so they can learn the truth about their baby-eating, sun-worshipping, human-sacrificing ancestors. And one of the leaders of one of those schools down in L.A. was the guy a couple years ago who parked his SUV on the Amtrak train track full of gasoline and tried to kill his... I think he killed 11 people, then tried to kill himself in a blood sacrifice. He didn't make it. We're going to see more of these terrorists. They're not using suicide bombs. They're using drive-bys. Today, we go to Fresno to pick up Stacy's pistol. I'm looking and I see all these fire trucks at the one end of the airport and some camera crews. I said, well, they're either training or they found another dead body. There was a guy right by the side of the road, right at the end of the runway, shot 5 times. A Latino guy. And then another article today, they just arrested a 14-year-old Latino boy for stabbing his girlfriend, his baby's mama, she was 12 years old, in the neck several times because he didn't like her new boyfriend. This 11-year-old Latino girl got pregnant by like a 13-year-old Latino boy. That's their culture, folks. I'm not making this up. It's in the media. It's what they do. The home takeover robberies, the drug running, the extortion. They had another guy today that they busted in Fresno for extortion over the computer. He would extort money from women on the computer. First, he would send them an email, and they would open it. It would infest their computer. He would search their computer for, you know, those photos that women take for their boyfriends. He would get those and threaten to release them on the internet if they didn't make pornos for him. This is a Latino kid. It's like 17 or 18 years old. He's facing federal extortion charges. And I know why people commit crimes too. But the ratio is ridiculous. Right now, they're like 55% of the population here, but they account for like 85 to 90% of the crime. They're letting people out of jail early because the prisons are full with illegal aliens. And I'm going to face it here. I think all immigration from south of the border should stop. I'm not going to be one of these mamby-pamby radio announcers who says, well, I'm for them coming here legally. No, I'm not. They're already here. There's too many here. Shut the door. Just like the Yellow Acts in the last century where they limited the number of Chinese to come, we should set it on zero. We should say we can take in 2,000 people from Mexico and then go down to the different nations south of the border, Guatemala, the whole thing, Honduras, El Salvador, like just so many a year, and that's it. No more sponsorships, no more anchor babies. They need to pass that legislation that's going through on the federal level to do away with anchor babies. No other country lets you do that. If I'm a pregnant woman and I go to England and I have a baby there, they give the baby citizenship, but they don't allow the parents to stay. And so I have a friend that happened to, a military brat. And for some reason, Britain honors dual citizenship, but America won't. You have to be American or nothing else. And that's one of the few things I still respect that they enforce. They've destroyed our economy. I mean, I can take, and I'm not exaggerating here, I can take just about every single problem in America today and show that the illegal alien and immigration overburden has impacted taxes. The reason we pay so much more in taxes is because they're not paying their fair share. Not all taxes are bad. You hear me say that all the time. They don't pay taxes. They repatriate $8 billion a year back to Mexico alone. It's third on their forms of what they're making every year. Repatriated dollars from their illegals and naturalized people, work visa people coming up here. You know, Russia, it's illegal to send money out of the country. And you're saying, well, that's Russia. Why are we allowing them? You go to a bank and they'll say, wire money to Mexico for free. But if I go, hey, I want to send some money to my grandpa in Scotland, they go, oh, well, that's $25 per hundred or something like that. We've made super citizens out of them. Super citizens. I just read in the paper today, somebody sent me an email, so I looked at it. It was an email or a phone call. Visalia is going to set up DUI checkpoints Thursday, and it says in there that they have the right to search every vehicle for any offenses. Well, I called them when I got a chance to and said, are you going to be looking for illegal aliens? And they said no. So if I go down there and I get pulled over and I've got a .22 pistol in my trunk that's loaded, which is technically a violation, you can't have a loaded gun in a car in an incorporated city, I go to jail. But if an illegal alien is sitting, if the whole car is full of illegal aliens, if they don't have a driver's license or insurance, they're going to impound their car, but they're letting them walk. And they've committed an international crime. The double standard, the making of super citizens out of these people is ridiculous. They have a great, public affairs air about them. They do the Day Without a Mexican, 500,000 of them go in the streets. And the media doesn't report that it was the lowest crime rate day in history, that there were no traffic jams, that you could actually get through a line at the DMV. There was no waiting at emergency rooms. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about how these scumbags paraded downtown L.A. when I was there with upside-down American flags, burning American flags, tearing them up, beating police, throwing soda bottles at police. No, they don't talk about that. They just talk about, oh, these are the people that do the jobs you don't want to do. I'm so sick of that. I grew up hoeing weeds in fields. I grew up baling hay. I did all the jobs that they say the white man won't do. And you know what I learned? The reason why there are 20 million here? Because they've lowered the level of quality of work so much that they have to employ that many people. You compare it 1930s during the Great Depression, right? 1930s during the Great Depression, when Okies were in California picking crops. Look at how many employees there were versus the output, and then compare it today. They're not stupid. They work slower and slower, and they say, hey, Mr. Farmer John, why don't you, my cousin, my nephew's cousin, my grandfather, my grandmother, they all need work too. And then they just slow it down. And technology has been stopped. There hasn't been advancement in picking crops because of this, because the farmers are like, oh, it's easy. I can hire these guys by the bushel. Works out to like $4 an hour, and it doesn't matter. But they've been dumbed down into it too, and they're complicit in it. It's a modern-day slavery. But these migrant workers have figured it out. The slower we work, the more of us we get employed. You don't think so? You think I'm making this up? The housing boom. Look how many, I can't tell you how many places I went. There'd be five or six families that got a loan and got this nice house in a nice neighborhood. They trash it and then walk away from it. I'm not painting with a broad brush. You need to visit California and see what's going on here. And I'm sure that other cities across the nation are the same way. Look at crime statistics when they list by race what type of violent crimes are being committed and the ratios. It is incendiary. It is counter to the truth to allow them to keep doing this. We have to demand that they print the truth. We have to demand that the truth about this invasion. Now, I always say it here, there's very few things the federal government is supposed to do. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says the federal government shall protect the states from invasion. It's one of the few things they're supposed to do, and they don't do it. And when we stand up and do it, what do? They call us vigilantes, racists. I don't care who's on the border and for what reason. If they're American and they're standing there to plug the hole, I praise them. I don't care if they're Nazis. I don't care if they're Klansmen. As long as they're obeying the law while they're there, and they are just vigilant and acting as a stopgap, hey, more power to them. More power to them. So I'm telling you, this thing coming up in July is more critical than I think anyone is telling you. This corridor, the Mexican corridor, in the
last 6 years, Jesse James has led this outlaw band, picking his way on a thoroughbred gray through the trails of this southern land with a gun in his hand. With an old bandana around his face, wrapped in a soldier's cloak, he's made a stand for the common man, suffering the rich man's yoke. Stood for the common folk, for the common folk. Well, you either live poor outside of the law, then they run you down, gun you down, and put you in the Hall of Fame. I've heard him say it's the price you pay. You give your life to live your life and leave it like a ball of flame. A riding and a hiding and a running with Jesse James. In a Kentucky bank, I watched his eyes. They were hard as furnished steel. He'd bust through the door with a .44, spinning it like a wheel, like a wagon wheel. You never could tell what was in his head or what he'd plan next time. If we're fighting for a forgotten cause or to keep our pockets lined, we don't really mind. Hell, we don't mind. Well, you either live poor outside of the law, then they run you down, gun you down, and put you in the Hall of Fame. I've heard him say that's the price you pay. You give your life to live your life and live it like a ball of flame. Riding and a hiding and a running with Jesse James. Well, you either live poor outside of the law, then they run you down, gun you down, and put you in the Hall of Fame. To live your life, to live it like a ball of flame. Riding and a hiding and a running with Jesse James. We might have lost the war, but we're going to end up with an awful lot of Yankee money before this thing's over.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
That's Jones. That's Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, we appear to be back up. I guess we got dropped off a little bit there, but it's perfect timing. Hopefully we are on the Liberty Tree Radio Network right now. This is Dutch Jones. I'm coming to you live from the church at Kaweah in Central California. Guys in the chat room, let Lou know how I sound. I noticed that lately it's been overdriven. I don't think he's catching it on the VU meter, but when I listen to the replay, it
sounds a little like this.
But we're coming to you from the gateway of Sequoia National Park, about 1,000 feet up from the valley floor in some beautiful rolling foothills. We've got the dried grasses of summer with the green oak trees. It's a great comparison. Makes it very interesting for adapting our camouflage. That clicking you're hearing in the background, Stacy's going through the steps of learning her new pistol. It's unloaded and she's working the slide. You need to put some oil on that. We need to locate a couple drops of oil. Lou's going to go set up the camera. And, yeah, it sounds like it's a little dry, Stace. Yeah, it needs some lubrication. I'll do that after the show. Just keep it in your holster for now, and we'll, I wouldn't even load it right now. Yeah. Write it down. No. Oh. What are you doing, guys? No, bring it here. Here you go. Bring it here. I'm going to show you this again. Okay. Put your thumb on the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Depress the trigger and ride it forward. Well, then why didn't you do it? You're sitting there going to drop the magazine and everything.
It is.
We already... Okay. You guys just sit down. We got to do a radio show here. I don't even know. I just can't even be professional anymore. I try to do a good show, and either technology or all this other stuff gets in the way. I apologize. I've always taken pride in how I present information, but lately, last few days, it's been like all these distractions, and everybody decides right when I go on the air to start messing with stuff in the studio. So everybody needs to focus on the show and what we're doing. This is important. Yesterday, I did about 45 minutes before we got knocked off. We tried using Ustream, and it keeps kicking us off. So we're on UBroadcast again. I don't know what's going on. We're going to continue to fight the good fight. We're not going to give up. If it means we only do 20 minutes off the air, 20 minutes off, you know, and then we get bumped off, we'll keep doing it. We're not giving up. They can do whatever they want to us, whether it's fleshy forces or if it's Satan. I don't care. I don't care if it's a ghost in the machine. But yesterday, I talked to the locals. Locals and friends of the show, not really local, it's people from all over the world, but now we have the expanded audience. And I made a comment, I think it was Thursday or Friday, that where are the militias in this 80-mile corridor in the Buenos Aires wilderness area that's been handed over, given to Mexico, signs going up. I said, why aren't the militias doing something? And a prime example of ask and you shall receive, I received an email immediately from a group called what is it here? No. Let me go to the bottom here. Coalition of Patriots 1776, and they're putting together an operation, and I'm sure other groups are, but this is the only one I know of right now. July 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's July 9th, 10th, and 11th. They're hoping to get at least 70 people out there. They're working with the local Arizona volunteer militias that are going to act as scouts, and you guys are going to go up and set up LPOPs if you participate in this, so that you will be able to take back that land. Now, they don't want to discuss everything they're going to be doing, but if you contact them, and I'll give you the contact information here in a little bit again. I promised I would do it again at the top of the hour. So go get your crayons and your paper sacks and your Etch-a-Sketch or whatever you use to write this stuff down on, and I'll give you specific contact information. Once you make contact, they will hand out, verbally give you over the phone, basic operational information that's needed. And then when you get there, there's going to be a big briefing on Friday. You'll be working with people who know the area. This is desert in Arizona in summer. It is not for everybody, but there will be something for everybody to do. I'm sure there are going to be tactical operations centers that are going to be set up. I don't expect any air conditioning, but if you're not of the physical ability to go humping through these hills down there, let them know that. But they need volunteers. They want between 50 and 70 volunteers to pull this off. Now, it's so soon, July 9th, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it down there. We don't have a vehicle that runs reliably. It's basically every time I get in a car, we're saying a prayer. But it's July 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm going to give you a phone number first here. The person's name is Pete. Papa Edward Tango Edward. I love mixing police with military. Papa Echo Tango Echo. And his phone number is, and this is a San Diego phone number, 619-300-6883. I'll give you that number again for Pete. 619-300-6883. Now, I can't see the the chat room or anything, Lou just took off. I may try to get in there again and see if you guys are getting it, but I'm just unable to see it. Every time I turn it on my computer, something terrible happens, so I'm going to try it here. So I can't put it in the chat room. Let's see, you broadcast. And it's important that you call this guy. Tell him you heard it from Dutch Jones on Liberty Tree Radio or from the DutchJones.tk website, and take part in it. Now, there's something you need to know. I've been doing border operations since 1992, and none of them ever go as planned. They are an operational nightmare, even for the best militias that have, you know, logistical abilities. Now, I've done it with the Minutemen, Ranch Rescue, a couple other smaller groups, Campo Minutemen. There's so many groups out there, and I've been with them. And the fact is, you have to go into these with an open mind. If you're coming from the militia standpoint of, you know, regimented control and chain of command and stuff, be a little flexible. Be a little flexible. Don't go in there with an attitude that, hey, we're the best militia from our state. We're five guys from that militia. We can teach you guys everything. Go down there, shut up, listen, and learn from the people who live there. They're not advocating violence. I've already checked into that to make sure that these guys are legit. And you're going to have militias right now, I think Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, California. Somebody said Ohio's checked in. Ohio is checked in. So it's going to be diversity. Now, I don't always push for these national call-outs. I always say my belief is the militia is to act locally. But in this case, this is kind of a Lexington Concord kind of issue. And the more people we get to show up, and you know the media is going to be there, and the better we close down this area to this illegal travel and embarrass the government, because they're going to make us look bad no matter what. Don't talk to the media. I don't know if the people that are organizing this are going to. I would recommend don't even talk to them. You know, I have nothing to say. As every time somebody sticks a microphone in my face, the five sacred words, I have nothing to say. And don't share with the media, but they're going to take pictures of you. They're going to show you doing stuff. They'll probably try and expose you. There may even be protesters. I've done all of that stuff on the border. It's not fun, but it needs to be done. And for all you militias that have been training and training and training and training and have never found a reason to go out and actually do something where you can deploy in a real-world scenario against people that probably will take shots at you, this is a great time to do it, folks. Put your money where your mouth is. Now, I'm not saying go down there and be all Rambo. I'm saying go down there and take back the land. Embarrass the federales. Let them know that you will not sit idly by and allow them to just give away chunks of four counties in Arizona. Look it up on the map. Buenos Aires Wildlife Preserve, I think it's called. Refuge. They have all these great words for taking of the land from civilians and states. Let's see here. I'm going to try and get into the chat room again, and hopefully this won't take us offline. Boop-a-doo, because I want to be able to see what you guys are saying here. I'm trying now. I'm all alone in here. Oh, Anthea's here. It's like everybody either comes in and yells, or they abandon me in the room all alone, so I'm stuck behind the soundboard and the microphone. Such is the nature of guerrilla broadcasting, because that's what we're doing. We're just trying to get information to you that I think is pertinent. Wow, there's a lot of folks in there. Minuteman, Olima. Da, da. Well, I do not see AK or Ed AK-47. So maybe he's not. Maybe we're not up. Ah, there's Ray.
And I'm a little drunk.
Go ahead, Rocky. Say he's still drunk. Let's see here. See if it comes up. It says I'm buffering. You guys would type in there if I wasn't coming through, please, because I just got in and it's showing. I want to make sure that it. I'm going to pause it. If I'm not coming out, type. Let's see if I can even type. Can ye hear me? There we go. I can type. When you're going to these desert climbs, a little advice here from those of us that. Thank you, Lost Soul. Those of us that have been fighting on the border for a while. As much water as you think you need, carry twice as much. Carry twice as much water as you think you need. Out in the heat, you don't want to eat as much. So bring rations that are easy to eat and make yourself eat. maybe nibble throughout the whole day rather than big organized meals. I found that that's a little easier on the stomach. But always be drinking the water. When you think you've drank enough water, drink some more. One of the good indicators, we just did this class on Saturday that I tried to teach people, that when your urine comes out dark brown or orange, you need to drink more water. When it comes out clear, you're drinking a little too much, so back off a little bit. It takes about 2 gallons of water to kill you, shut down your kidneys and stuff. So not enough water and too much water is bad for you. But keep it going, keep it flowing. Gatorade, stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of those, although we did have Minuteman come in and he brought in this new product, and I lost it here. I don't have it in front of me. It's like Goop-Aid or Gook-Aid that helps get the electrolytes into you real fast. Those things are good. The problem I don't like about Gatorade and things like that is just too much sugar in them. And being a diabetic, for me, I don't like it. But what you need to do is find a way to keep... Well, somebody asked me, what if your urine looks like a Bloody Mary? You're probably ready to have your ticket punched, so just go sit under a shade tree and say goodbye to the world. If you've got blood in your urine, it's not something you want to, you know, I wouldn't even share that with anybody. I would just go off and die somewhere. Find a dying hole. Climb into a dying hole, cover it up with some weeds, and go to sleep and die. But all kidding aside, oh, here we go. Let's see if I remember how to do the phone here. Phone's here. Hello? Are you there?
I'm not, but I should be here soon.
Okay. Are you at your destination?
Yeah.
Does John have a long mustache? Go ahead.
The product's called Vitalite now.
Vitalite, yeah. It got rid of the Gook-Aid because it was racially intolerant.
No, that's the guy's last name is Bill Gookin.
Ah, who knew?
And
who knew?
That doesn't have as much sugar as the other stuff. I mean,
right.
Literally, the fructose level is the
I
same level
that.
That your body needs, like I was talking in the
yeah,
class. That's
that
why
was a great product.
It assimilates so quickly. But, you know, even if you've got Gatorade or Super Soccer or whatever, something other than just water, especially out in the desert because of the way you're going to sweat, and
mm-hmm.
you know, just your body loses 40% of its moisture through perspiration and respiration. So even if you've got shade over you, just being in a dry environment and breathing, you know, you need to replace those fluids.
Now, we know in the old days it was salt tablets. Do you guys still recommend that, you professional?
Absolutely not. No,
right.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Mainly because it will be a higher concentration. All you're doing is putting sodium in. You're doing nothing about potassium and electrolytes.
Yep.
So if you take salt tablets, you're actually going to cause the body to pull moisture out of your blood supply
right.
and your digestive tract. So you're going to dehydrate yourself by taking salt tablets.
I think as recently as the 80s, they were telling us to take salt tablets in the Army. It was
insane. With some of the stuff they've done for Desert Storm and all that, they've reevaluated. At some other point in time, I can tell you about a study they did up at 29 Palms with Special Forces and how far can you go with X amount of water and what
right.
happens. And they realized that water is a lot more critical than previously thought.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, so much of the forces now have the Camelback so that you can always have water that you're sucking on as opposed to just a one quart.
Yeah,
machine.
just keep imbibing in the water. Now, one of the other things, while I have you on the phone, I just bumped it with my hat that you gave me. Thanks again for the hat. What types of, would you recommend, like I was bringing up bananas for potassium.
Yeah, bananas are very, very good. You know, if you want like apples or oranges, the oranges don't bruise, but you also get the vitamin C and the juice from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you want to bring that way. But the main thing is, you know, lots of water. Like you brought up, shade, you know, so you're not
yeah.
in the direct sun. You know, from what you and I know from being down on the border. And I haven't been to the Arizona part, but with the part I'm at, either at Campo or the other places, there's a lot of rocks you can sit by and sit in the shade there.
Natural.
Because the pictures I've seen from our group in Arizona is pretty flat.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the shade type things like we have on our part of the border.
Bring a tarp, throw it over a Joshua tree, and, you know, use some parachute cord and, you know, make yourself a little hacienda there to hide in. But take breaks, too. We talked a little bit about that, especially, I think it was after you had, because you had to leave. But take breaks. You know, slow down. You know, work in groups. Use the buddy system.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially in the desert, if you're not, well, even if you are used to it, you should always, whether military or Boy Scouts or with a family, have the buddy system.
Rock hound.
Where someone goes to go take a leak, someone goes with them. They can turn the other way or whatever, but you know, whether it's a snake bite or someone slipping or twisting their ankle in the gopher hole, you should always have the buddy system. And if you don't have a buddy, then you just make a threesome for one of the groups so that you've got, you know, one more than one set of eyes and additional help should it be needed.
Well, of all the ecosystems in our great nation, I think the desert is probably the most dangerous and inhospitable, other than maybe above the Arctic Circle, which in its own way is kind of a desert.
It is the most unforgiving environment, mainly because you can have, you know, 110 degrees during the day and 40 degrees at night.
The sand does not retain heat.
Right, and you've got such a radical temperature change, you can go from, you know, where you can have heat exhaustion type problems to the point of hypothermia in the same area. And so the equipment that you have to bring, both to protect from the sun and shade, and then also to protect from hypothermia, to keep you warm at night, plus, you know, rehydration from, again, just evaporation and respiration, you know,
right.
It's not a place to be traveled if you don't have any experience in it. You know,
right. So,
it's like you're talking about with the group down there, of them assigning someone that's familiar with it, so that if you're someone from, you know, Central California, you've never been in the desert type thing. That's not counting Bakersfield or whatever.
Yeah, not the desert that we've subdued. Real desert.
Right.
Yeah.
That it, you know, especially if you're not used to being in 110 degree heat with not a tree to sit under as far as shade, it can zap your energy and strength and zap you really quick.
Let's talk about headgear. Now, a lot of people think, well, if I just wear a T-shirt, some shorts, some good hiking boots, and, you know, I don't want to wear a hat because, you know, everybody knows that you lose most of your heat out of the top of your head, so I should just let it go uncapped. What do you say to that? I know what the answer is, but I want to hear you say.
Well, the first thing what's recommended for the classes I teach and all that is any temperature above 110 degrees, you should have long cotton pants and a long cotton shirt on.
Yeah.
The reason is you don't want all that skin exposed to the sun.
Right.
What your body tries to do by sweating is to basically make itself a swamp cooler to cool yourself off. If that skin is exposed directly to the sun, the moisture from sweat evaporates immediately, and you also start baking your skin, so you're increasing your body temperature and blood temperature where it can't cool off. When you have a long sleeve shirt on, then at least you're getting some shade and keeping the direct sun from beating in on your skin and not allowing the blood to dissipate the heat out. You're actually making yourself hotter by doing that. You should have a wide-brimmed boonie-type hat on, and if you don't have that, if all you have is a baseball cap, then take a bandana handkerchief, put it so that it covers the back of your neck and ears.
Right.
A lot of sporting goods stores sell, and I'm not sure what name it goes under, but in essence, it is a like a rolled-up bandana handkerchief, and it has the little absorbing cells like babies' diapers.
It's exactly what it is. I cut one open. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
And so you take that and dip that in a bucket of water, pour your canteen on it, let it absorb that, then you tie that around your neck, and it really, really helps.
Yeah, you place that the goopy stuff in the on the back of the base of your skull too, which is closer to your hypothalamus, if I'm saying that right, which regulates body heat, so it helps.
Right. So having that around your neck, where again all the electrical impulses for your arms and legs and, you know, blood as far as going up and down, all that, just having that around your neck will really help you feel cooler and keep you cooler.
Right.
So,
well, that's good.
Another thing, then, like you said, whether it's, you know, whether you have camo netting or, you know, I'm sure sporting goods stores sell.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Type tarps in different camouflage things. Just
I've actually seen them at Big Five by the cash register. Big Five, they'll have all kinds of dainty patterns, some outdoor, they'll have skull ones. You just get whatever fits your tactical need. The other thing is, depending on where these LPs, OPs are going to be, if you can carry as much water as you can, I'm talking one of those tan military 5-gallon water containers, because that's immediate first aid for heat stroke. You just soak the guy in it. If you can carry it, if you can get it to your LPOP, keep it there in the shade so it doesn't, even if it's warm from the ambient air temperature, it's still going to aid in cooling them down when you soak all of their clothes.
Well, especially like we're talking about, if you use a buddy system where there's three of you, you know, you can kind of split up the gear weight-wise, so whoever's carrying the 5-gallon jug is an overburden compared to the other ones. And then, like you said, when you get there, whether it's put in a tarp over something or whatever shade you can find to keep that water cool, But you said both for drinking and cooling off is the right way to do it.
Yeah, because if you go from heat exhaustion, once you're in heat exhaustion, the risk of turning into heat stroke can be instantaneous. It depends on your physiology and conditions you're in.
And the thing about it is heat stroke has a 50% mortality rate.
That's right.
You're out in the desert where it will take a while for help to come to you. You know, you can cool off the body, you can treat for shock, you can do what you can, but a 50% mortality rate by the time, if you had GPS and get the proper GPS coordinates, get those called in, and then either sheriff or BP can fire up a bird and get a bird out there, you know, you could be easily be talking, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And that's way too much time for that type of an emergency.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're not trying to scare people off of going to this
call.
But we want you to be prepared.
Right.
We want you to go into this with as much knowledge as you can. I mean, and then one of the simplest things, I steal it from Survivor Man, if you stop sweating, you die. And so you look for key things like that. You take preparations, precautions, and it'll be great. We won't hear about anybody. Getting hurt, you know, and we'll just read about what a great job you guys did down there when you showed up.
Well, one of the type things, age-wise, which has somewhat of a factor of what we're talking about, but with our group, sometimes when we send people out to Campo or sometimes up by our base of operations, we've got an area up there we call the Oaks, and a lot of illegals come through there. We had an 80-year-old guy that was part of one of the teams, went up there, and, you know, has COPD, not in good health and all that, but
right.
He's still out there willing to help, and so he was in a vehicle with another person with the binoculars and saw a group of 12 illegals coming across.
Right.
So you don't have to be in the best shape,
mm-hmm.
but you do have to use wisdom.
Well, that's what I was saying. Don't count yourself out if you're some guy like me who's got all kinds of medical problems.
And
I
like
can't even
said,
count
take,
how many
you know,
times.
Rest breaks, whatever. And also, if you're not used to the desert and all of a sudden you start feeling lightheaded and dizzy, you call someone for help. It's not like you got to be Mr. Macho Man or try to. The stupid thing would be if you say, I'm going to walk back to the vehicle myself. I want to lay down.
Yeah, don't go anywhere by yourself.
Yeah, and so if you're not feeling, if you're feeling, you know, like I said, dizzy or lightheaded or whatever it is, let the people know, radio it in, and, you know.
Yeah, it's a completely different operational area.
And I don't
area.
Mean to put a wet blanket on it, because a lot of times, like when you and I go, there can be times where you're just bored to death sitting there, nothing's happening.
Right, you don't see anything for hours.
And you bring a book to read or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's other times where, you know, you see a group here, and then another group's coming over, then you hear the dogs barking on our side that some have already got across. You know, you just, you know.
I remember the first time I went down with the Minuteman Project, it was April 1st. I don't know, 7 years ago now? The first time I went with Minuteman, I've been down on the border since 92 with different groups. Ranchers would hire me, stuff like that. But I'm sitting there talking to a guy about how safe it is, and suddenly a round ricochets between us. We're standing arm's length apart, and this round ricochets between us. I go, well, I guess it's time to get behind the rocks. And, you know, they were shooting at us. Cause it was a major operation. There was a Minuteman every 200 feet, and it just infuriated the drug cartels. And now it's gotten to the point where the people that I went down with are much more strategic. They're more like shore watchers. They hide or they take high-profile positions to detour and move them into more hostile territory where the Border Patrol, using technology and their people, can get them. That's the key. Now, this situation, I don't think there's going to be any Border Patrol. There's not going to be any law enforcement.
No.
It's going to be a whole different thing. And you guys need to call that number I gave out. Call Pete. And it's pretty scary. Let's see.
Yeah, exactly, because, like, there's
Pete's
a place
in, there right now.
In our area of operation that we call center field.
Right.
And there's some places in the fence where they can come through. And so one of our evenings on patrol, we were going high profile.
Right.
So we had two vehicles there. They had the headlights on. They had the Mexican hirachi music playing really loud.
Yeah.
They had the million candle spotlights and floodlights. And they were just shining them all over there. So it's very obvious that there's people there looking for whatever.
So I think it's going to be a little different in this operation, because they have been operating in this corridor at the Buenos Aires Wildlife Preserve just unfettered, that nobody's stopping them. They're going to be very cocky. So you got to go down there with this attitude. Pete, if you would put your phone number again in the chat room. I see Pete's in there. I will make sure to give it out over the air again for the Liberty Tree Radio audience. And if those guys are listening at Liberty Tree, they could write it down and give it out, too, on their shows. I would appreciate it because we need to have a good showing here. We need to have the militia folks show up, and we need to have a – I mean, we need to put our foot down. This is going to be – I'm telling people, this could be the next Lexington and Concord. This is, at the very least, it's going to be a slap in the face of Obongo and his administration for what he has done.
And people need to not treat this lightly. In other words, because of the tension in there, difficulties could come up. And not to hide and run from it, just be aware this is not going out for a Sunday picnic.
No. Like I've told you, I've been shot at. I've been assaulted. I've had them point weapons at me at very close range. In fact, I was down in one of the outhouses down there, and they were shooting all around the outhouse. They're terrible shots. Either that or it's just they want to scare you away.
Yep.
So, but this situation that the organizers are doing for this is a totally different thing. This is not gardeners jumping over the fence, folks. So I want you to know that this is, I don't want to say it's more important because it is important to stop the illegal aliens. But these are highly trained people, and we really need people with a good attitude to respond to this call for militias. And the phone number again is 619-300. Okay, my eyes aren't so good anymore. 6883. I'm going to give it again here. This is San Diego number, 619-300-6883. You asked for Pete. That's Papa Edward Tango Edward. I like mixing my phonetics. And he will send you the information. We're not going to give any information out more than that. They want to make sure that they know you're coming. There'll be a briefing on the Friday the 9th. And it's, you know, the SOPs are going to be given out, the areas of operation. And like we said, I can't remember if I said it this hour or last hour, the locals are going to be there. I've already had independent militias, or not independent, independent contact other than Pete's, call me and ask me to go and say, we're already reconnoitering the area. We know some good locations, and we'll be working with any of the deployed militias that are coming in. And it isn't just for militias. If you're an individual and you're up to this, I'm sure they can find a place for you. This is a clarion call to service. And if we let this go unanswered, I will lose huge faith in the so-called militias in America. If people don't respond to this,
tell you what I can do to help you.
Yeah, it's, you know, anything we can do. We're going to try to get down there. It's kind of short notice for us,
yeah,
and you know our vehicle issues. But I'm hoping that a bunch of guys from the church will go, and I can just pitch in for gas. Pete is saying in the chat room that it's a multi-state op. What we'll do, Pete, after we're going to go to a break right now. But Pete, I'll give out the number. I'll put the number in the chat room, and I'd like to have you call in, Pete, and tell us what's going on. And that way they can hear it from the horse's mouth, as it were. I'm not calling you a horse, but rather than me relaying it. So we're going to go to a break now, and we'll be back after this, and we're going to see if we can talk to Pete about it. He's one of the organizers. We'll be back just after a song and a commercial.
Dear Mr. Johnson, we're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you. But the falling price of wheat's not our concern. But the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, there'll be bidding America goodbye. Mm-hmm. family's work that lasts for years. If we can be of assistance during your transition, please don't hesitate to call us here.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antonio, stands a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. May look in vain for crosses and you'll never see a one, but sometimes between the setting and the rising of the sun, you can hear a ghostly bugle as the men go marching by. You can hear them as they answer to the roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett,
here.
And 180 more, Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, President accounted for. In 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and with them came young Smitty, just to fight for the right to be free. Injun scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may never see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want to can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. 185 brave men, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, then Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and his lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged and blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Ana breached the wall and he killed them one by all. Now the bugles are silent and the rust are neat sword. And the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. Southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antonio, stands a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jack's Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I thought Lou was going to play something there. He leaned over to the other computer, but he didn't. We're back for the last 20 minutes or so of the Dutch Jones radio program. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. But we've got some good information for you. I'm glad he played the Alamo. Because that's kind of what's in my mind here. Now, I don't think everybody that goes down there is going to die, but this is a call out to all the state militias, to all the volunteer groups that are out there that are just tired of our government being treasonous and stabbing us in the back. They have given an 80-mile-long corridor. I have yet to get how wide it is, but it's the Buenos Aires wilderness wildlife area in Arizona. It takes chunks of four counties and set it aside and told American citizens, you can't go in there. It's just too dangerous. There are rogue Mexican military in there. There are people traffickers. There are drug traffickers. It is just, it's turned into Tora Bora. Those of you that don't know what that is, look it up. It's no man's land, no rule of law in this area. And a handful of people who got angry are trying to organize something. And that's why we're really reaching out to you folks here on Liberty Tree Radio and on the Dutch Jones Radio Program Network, wherever you're being played. I see Scotty's in there. I don't know if he's playing us on his CB there in New York. But I know from the emails I get, we go out over a lot of radio stations, low power FM, reflectors. I'm finding this show everywhere now. I Google it about every week, and that's great. You guys, take it in its entirety. Don't chop my words and make me sound like, something else.
You know you're really famous when you get shows sent to you that you've done.
Yeah, people are saying, hey, you got to hear this guy. Listen to it. I'm like, because people who know my real name have sent me emails saying, I heard this guy. He's talking about militia stuff. You ought to hear him. And it's me. I just kind of chuckle, kind of like Bruce Wayne and Batman kind of thing going on there.
Alternate personality.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I'm Batman, but you get it. But I just talked to Pete off the air, and we're going to set up an interview with him when he can get all the facts together and everything. And I misspoke. He said it was 111 last weekend. It's not that they got 111 people. It was 111 degrees in the desert. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to share with you people. I have been in the desert. I've spent a lot of time in the high desert in California. I've been to the Arizona desert. I've been to the Texas desert in different operations doing things like this. And it's serious business. They want you to come well-armed. Remember, Arizona has the best Second Amendment-leaning rules and regulations in the entire nation, I think. So you need to come armed. You need to come prepared. Don't wear your blaze orange hunting gear and bring daddy's single-shot shotgun is what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But you need to know what you're taking and know how to use it. This isn't the time to get that FNFAL or whatever down that you've never carried and try it out. Bring stuff that's proven that you know is going to work, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how these drug dealers are going to react. Hopefully, they'll get the fear of God put into them and they'll run away, and we can tear down those signs. But I don't know. I can't say. It's like Scott was saying earlier in the last first part of the hour here. I've been on the border 2, 3, 4 days at a time and not had anything go on. And then on that fifth night, they raid the camp. And, you know, a fist fight breaks out. These things have happened. I know one guy, Czech Stan, listening down there. I know he listens on the border in Campo. Had a guy try to bite his fingers off. You know, things like that. They'll come just to steal. But what we're facing here in this Arizona corridor, this Mexican invasion into this wildlife preserve, is something completely different. So you better have your head on straight. Be thinking about this. You're going into a Lexington and Concord situation. We don't want to shoot first, but if they want war, you got to be ready to give it to them. That's all I'm saying. And you better be knowledgeable in the terrain and the heat. Now, they are going to assign, you know, guides and stuff like that. But be on your toes, people. This is it. This is the chance for the militia to actually do something more than just show up with protest signs. This is something for the militia to do that isn't, how do I put this? Isn't a lose-lose situation. This isn't a siege where we're going to stand by and watch them burn children down in a church. This is a well-defined enemy in a well-defined area that has been abandoned by the rule of law by the federal government. I can think of no better action for the militia to get engaged in. And this is all militias, just militia groups. That's all who's going to be there, just militia groups. So this isn't going to be, you know, the Tea Party. This isn't going to be, you know, Citizens for Reasonable Government. This is militia. This is for hardcore, dedicated militia. This isn't for fence sitters. It doesn't matter what shape you're in, because there'll be something for you to do. But this is not for fence sitters. This is for people who have made the decision. I had your microphone too high. It was hissing. I had to bring it down. This is for people who are ready to make a stand. Like those gentlemen that stood on the bridge, the shot heard around the world. Now, I'm not hoping you guys get shot and killed, especially if I'm going to be there. But I'm hoping that it has the same effect around the world. That people will be like, oh my, these militias are for real. Oh my, these citizens have really had it. I want a huge slap to Obongo's little cheeky face. I want those people in Washington to go, oh my lord, they're serious. And this will influence, this has the possibility to ripple across America and have an effect that we can't even imagine right now. This could be it. I've been looking for something like this for the last 10 years for the militia to engage in. The border thing has been a big thing for me, but I just can't seem to get the militias to show up. Now, granted, I still think the Minutemen and the Campo Minutemen, all that are militias. The Border Patrol, the BPOCs, the Border Patrol Auxiliary. I really believe that they're militias. They may not want to use the word militia, and I understand why, and I'm not demeaning them for not using it, but this is a militia cause. For what is the militia cause if it is not repelling invaders? How is this any different than the 1700s when the Indians went on the warpath and the king would not lend troops and the militia had to take care of it? How is this any different than when the French tried to come down from Canada and invade our territory? How is this any different? How is this any different than when the Redcoats went to seize weapons, powder, ammunition, the ball, the patch, everything from the militias in the outlying countryside? How is this any different? An actual seizure of American property by foreign entities. And don't think for a minute that these drug cartels, these people smugglers, these military units are not part of a bigger plan by the Mexican government to reconquista this nation. They may say they're rogue military elements, but I don't believe that 100%. I think they may think they're rogue elements, but it's all part of the plan of the New World Order to destroy our sovereignty. Arizona needs us right now, because if Arizona today, it will be California, New Mexico, Texas, Detroit, Ohio, Iowa tomorrow. They'll declare whole parts of cities off limits because there's just too much Latino crime in the barrio, man. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to give away our nation one chunk at a time to a third world country because we have a socialist president, a Marxist Congress? Is that what we want to do? Do we really want to let the New World Order and the Zionists win? Pick whoever you want. You the Jesuits, whatever. I don't care. You pick your bad guy du jour. But this is a result. This isn't a symptom. This is a direct result. This is the disease that the militia was meant to destroy. The reason we have the Second Amendment is because of instances exactly like this. We've talked in depth about what the National Guard really is. We talked about the Army Reserve. They have nothing to do with the militia. We are the militia. A lot of people change the ages. A lot of people change the genders. I don't care about all that stuff. But the fact of it is, citizens defending their neighbors, their communities, their counties, their states, their regions. And it goes uphill from there depending on the threat. And this threat in Arizona is not a localized threat. So don't tell me, well, that's just the job of the Arizona militias. If the Arizona militias don't take care of it, why should we? That's like being on the Titanic and saying, well, the big rip in the hulls in the forward right side compartments, I don't know, starboard versus all that, we back here in the engine room don't need to worry about that because that's their problem up there. If you're in a boat and it's sinking, you better start helping to bail and patch that hole because the front of the boat sinks, the back of the boat sinks. And we're in the same boat, folks. That's a Dutch Jones analogy right there. A Dutchism right there. That's a little allegory for you there from the wordsmith Dutch. You feel free to use it to convince your idiot neighbors and stuff of what's really going on. So over the next few days until this happens, we're going to be talking about the kind of gear you're going to need. I'll be talking about experiences I've had in desert climates acting in a paramilitary militia mode. I don't want to discourage anybody, but I don't want anybody going down there being naive. We'll get Pete on and anybody else from his organization that wants to speak. And if you're going, I want to hear about it on tomorrow's show. We've only got about 9 minutes left. But if you are going down there or you know somebody who's going to Arizona, have them call in. I want to find out what's in their head right now so that they can share their motivation with you and hopefully get you motivated enough to go down there. We're going to do everything we can here to at least send a couple people. It'd be great if all of us could go. Thought of Stacy on the border, or on the border, in a battle zone with her new pistol. Mm-hmm. That's take a lot of pictures.
Ooh,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Border Patrol is going to be taking calls that day or those 3 days. Yeah, we got 25 people. We've got them contained in a canyon. I'm sorry, but no one's here right now to take your call. It's going to be interesting. The political and social implications of this are going to be long-lasting, if you understand what I'm saying about social. This could wake a lot of people up. Now, I don't know what they can handle down there, so I'm not going to say any numbers. But could you imagine, let's just say, and don't stick to any of these numbers. What if like 5,000 militia guys showed up? And we covered every square observational inch of this region. And they couldn't take a dump, sneak behind a bush, or stop to take a drink of water without us calling it in. Wouldn't that be great? No drones, no aircraft, no SWAT-trained thugs from the oppressive federal government. Just common folks from all walks of life that make up the militia. The old Greek ideal. The citizen soldier. The real citizen soldier. Not this National Guard hype. Oh, man, I'm getting excited just thinking about it, and I hope you are, too. Never before in my lifetime have I seen anything like it. Maybe the L.A. riots, which was a chance that was passed up. You know, something along those lines where the militia should have turned out, but I don't know. Things were different then. I mean, other than them actually declaring martial law and taking our guns, I can't think of another good example for us to make a stand. I mean, I'm sure if I sat down, there would be other things. I mean, the next time they pull another Waco or Ruby Ridge, we need to be there. But this is on our doorstep today. This has been handed to us by God. And don't think for a minute that it's just some coincidence, that it's some hype thing being made up. This was put in our path by Jesus Christ as an opportunity to stand in the gap. Not some religious wacko. I know history and I know how the Lord works. Got a lot of listeners in there right now that I haven't seen before. The emails are flying in. This is good. This is really good. We need to make it possible. If you, like I said the other day, if you can't make it, find somebody who's going and make sure they have enough gas money to get there. If you can't make it, let them borrow your tent, your gear, your rifle, whatever it takes, and send somebody. Make contact with Pete. The number's there on my, I think we don't have it on the website, but 619-300-6883. And you can just email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com, and I will forward everything on to Pete. I don't think he wants to get, you know, I'll send it on to him. I gave out the email there. Here, let me give it out again. Okay, here's the email. Get your crayons ready. Coalition_, that's the little line that's underneath the letters, of patriots1776 @hotmail.com. Okay, here it comes again for those of you trying to get that pencil sharpener to work. Coalition_of_patriots1776@hotmail.com. The number to contact Pete is 619-300-6883. And I got an email request. I got to go back to the chat room here. Rocky Hill, are you in there? Rocky Hill Ranger, Minuteman wants your email. Is it okay if I give it to him? Say no, and you'll make everybody think, Rocky Hill is saying we can use his car. That would be good. He's got a nice Toyota, a big old Toyota. We just pay him some gas money and let the bald man take us to the fight. So, Rocky Hill Ranger, if it's okay with you, I'm getting a request. You can go to, in fact, if you see Minuteman in there, click on Minuteman, right-click on him, and send him a private message. He wants your email. No, it's not a dating service. He probably just wants to network with content. We did a big training, and we've got a couple minutes left here on this weekend. We did it Saturday overnight, and then some on Sunday. It went really well. We had like 15 or 16 people show up. I know people are going, well, that's not much. It is, considering it's our first one. Now, those of you that didn't make it there, shame on you. You, those that did, I praise you. My endorsement goes to your efforts. We got a lot to do. We need to do a lot on weapons training. We need to do a lot on just learning to work together and getting along. It's neat to see. You know, some people, I'm not going to lie, some people are a little irritated by other people, but we all work on that. Because in a crisis situation, we've got to learn to get along. And these trainings once a month, I think we decided to do them every other month. We'll keep doing our third Sunday of the month trainings. Now, this next Sunday coming up is a third Sunday of the month, and we're going to do some more. We're going to do some more training next Sunday. So those of you that want to come to the church at Kaweah can find it out. Call me, email me. But you come at 10 a.m., go through church service, eat chow with us, and then we're going to do some more training. I forgot what I was going to – I think it's going to be some – maybe some water filtration or something. I can't remember what it was. We were going to do it on heat-related injuries, but we've kind of covered that. But we'll do something good. Those of you that are coming from out of town, I know that there are two people coming from the coast that listen. They listen to the replays. We will have training. We've got a video to watch about our founding fathers. We're going to do that on Sunday afternoon, and then I'm going to do... You know what we might do and what we really need to do? Communications training. I think we'll break out some radios, and I'll teach you guys some protocols on radio operations. And those of you that weren't here last Sunday, I'll give you the handout for heat casualty so you can take that with you, and maybe we'll just do a refresher. Of course, every training from now on, we're going to go over the four basic rules of firearms handling. We need to get everybody on the same boat here. Stop sweeping people with your muzzles. Even if we're just using airsoft, even if we know the weapons are unloaded, we've got to show 110% awareness of the danger of our weapons and respect them. So this goes out to everybody, including myself. 20 minutes ago, I was checking out Stacy's new pistol, trying to get the magazine out, and I pointed it at Lou. And I apologized to him. We all make the mistakes. Some of us make them more than others, and we need to work on that. We're going to come up with some protocols on weaponry and what we need to do as a group and to make sure that we're better. So, anyway, let's all focus on this Arizona thing. Be praying for us. You guys know I need your prayers more than I think you do know. For our family, for our finances, for everything. We need your help in prayer. And if you want to make a monetary donation, go to dutchjones.tk. We've got about half the cost met from three donors. Just three people donated. I know it's hard. But if you can only send $5, don't be ashamed. Send $5. I appreciate it, and God appreciates it. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to talk more about what you need to do for desert operations, given this is the time of year when people die in the desert. So as we fade out the music, we're running out of here. Don't call me. I may not even take my cell phone because we're going to church. Good night. God bless you. The sword is heavy. The battle is hard. Victory belongs to the Lord.
I long to see the boys.